Hello and welcome to another installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. My name is Matthew, and along with my wife Victoria, we own and operate the Wash and Word hand car washing business. And that business exists for the sole purpose of bringing forth these verse by verse Bible teachings. We deliver these messages here in the parking lot at the Wash and Word, which is on Highway 11W in Church Hill. It's in the Palace Shopping Center, and there are these messages broadcast on a loop on 107.1 FM, so you can just pull into the parking lot and listen to these verse-by-verse Bible teachings while you're eating your pal's meal, or while you're waiting to get your car washed, or just any time you want to pull in and hear some of the Word of God. We also encourage you to go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com, and there you can find out all the information you need about this ministry and about this business. And like I said, this is a ministry business focusing on the ministry, which is the verse-by-verse Bible teachings that we deliver these messages in this format because we believe that this is the most effective way to properly equip the saints for everything that life would throw at them. And so we go into God's Word, we start on verse 1 of chapter 1 of a particular book, and we just continue through the entire book, verse by verse, leaving out nothing of God's entire counsel. And we do this for the sole reason of getting all of God's Word into your ears and prayerfully into your hearts. We're going to pick it up in verse 26 of John chapter 12. And there, we ended our last message talking about, specifically in verse 26, where Jesus makes an interesting statement, and he says, "Whoever serves me must follow me." And if you listen to that in a quick reading, you think, okay, that makes sense. Whoever serves me must follow me. But you wonder if Jesus made a mistake. He got his words mixed up a little bit here, because shouldn't it read, "Whoever follows me must serve me"? In other words, he's saying, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to follow me, then serve me. But he switches it around here, and I love this, and it's easy to overlook. And we're going to take a couple of minutes to focus on this. Whoever serves me must follow me. And I found that to be an interesting order of words here. It's not backwards, because Jesus didn't say anything that was backwards. But a deeper reflection of the arrangement of these words shows that let me just pose this question to you. Can you really be a follower of Christ and not serve him? Is not service to the King the result of being a follower? They're very much hand in hand and interchangeable. But the flip side of that would be that it is possible, and I think this is what Jesus is touching on here, to serve him and not follow him. That is, not be obedient to him. Now, what I mean by that is you can be a follower of Christ. You could say, Christ is my Savior, I've given my heart over to the Lord, and you can serve him, but at the same time, you cannot follow him. And by not follow him, I believe Jesus is referring to the obedience part of following him. Because it's one thing to follow him with your life and, you know, give your life over to him and profess that you are a Christian. That's great. But if you're not obeying the words that Christ says, which is another reason, if I can digress for a second here, why we do verse-by-verse Bible teaching. Because if you cherry-pick the Word of God and you only deliver certain parts of it, if you're a pastor or a preacher and you're not delivering the entirety of God's Word, you're giving them a partial gospel or a partial teaching, and your congregation deserves to have everything in God's Word delivered to them, explained to them, and applied to them. And so Jesus is saying, if you know, you can be my follower, but maybe you're not obedient. And being obedient to Christ is to follow him. Here's an example. Tithing. Tithing is an obedient act that we do towards God. I remember in my church in Florida, there was a couple who were overseeing the children's ministry, and it came to my attention that they weren't tithing any money to the church. Now, again, that's between them and God, and you know, and but I did approach them on this because I wanted to make sure that they weren't in disobedience to the word in what they were doing. And so I approached them, and their response was that, well, our service to the church in the being overseers of the children's ministry, that is our tithing to the church. And I thought about that for a minute, and I actually rebuked them, because tithing is obedience. And you know, just to make a quick subnote here, if you're not tithing to God monetarily, you are living in disobedience. And you can't serve God while you are in disobedience. Whoever serves me must follow me. And Jesus follows up those words in verse 26. He says, "Where I am, my servant also will be. And my Father will honor such as these." And so there's sort of a pattern here. If you put all this together, time spent with Jesus causes us to be more like him. I've been preaching that for many messages now. Time spent with Jesus causes us to be more like him, which when you are more like Christ, what does that do? That draws other people to Jesus. So if you're acting and living like Jesus, if you're very much more and more like his son, like God's son, then others will naturally be drawn to Jesus based on the way you act or the things that you say. And we become more like Christ by spending time with Jesus. And so if time spent with Jesus causes us to be like him, which draws other people to him, then a logical conclusion that spending time with Jesus causes us to die to ourselves. Do you understand? And when we die to ourselves, what happens? Well, we naturally draw closer to him. And so time spent with Jesus will cause us to serve him. And as he just said, God honors such as these. And thus, this will cause us to be where Jesus is and to go where he has gone. And so time spent with Jesus is really the only redeemable time that you can log. It's the only kind of time that makes, that's maybe, to put it a different way, goes with you into eternity. This time spent with Jesus causes you to become more like his son, which causes you to die to yourself, which causes you to draw closer to him, which in turn allows you to become more like him again. Do you see how it's a pattern that just continues? It's like a circle that just keeps going round and round for the betterment of you and for the betterment of the people around you. It is the only thing that you can do with your time that you can get something back from it. There's an eternal reward that is attached to time spent with Jesus. So moving on, we see that Jesus continues here now. In verse 27, we're going to keep reading. He says, "Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And then a voice from heaven came, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said that it had thundered, and others said an angel had spoken to him. And Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." He said this to show the kind of death that he was going to die. Now, let's stop right there for a moment. There is no account of the Garden of Gethsemane in John, even though he was there and he was sleeping. If you remember when in the garden, the guards were coming to arrest him. But we don't see that account here in the Gospel of John, because John was a very black and white writer. He basically was the kind of writer that kind of, he was like a referee. He called them as he saw them, so to speak. And then when he was in the garden, he did not see what was happening there. Thus, he didn't record those events. But here he records an event that is very similar. You remember when Jesus was in the garden, he was praying three times that the Lord would take away, that God would take away this cup of him from him. And his soul was very troubled, if you recall. And there we see this recorded here in a different way. We see an event where we see Jesus has a troubled soul. We see a voice from heaven, and we see others who have witnessed it. But in the garden, there was a voice that came from heaven, but it was just for Jesus' benefit. Only he heard it. But here, Jesus said the voice was for our benefit, or those who were listening, and of course ours, as we read into the future of, you know, reading the Bible. But this benefit was for us, not him. Now, can we talk a little bit about taking God for granted? And I know some of you are out there going, I never do that. I would never take God for granted. To which I would reply with a deep sigh, because we all do that. I mean, we all take certain things in life for granted. Maybe it's our spouse, or maybe it's our freedom that we have in this country. The fact that your car started this morning, or that even there'll be another tomorrow. You know, we take all of these things for granted sometimes. But what about God himself? What about taking God for granted? We must be careful. And here's an application point that hopefully will resonate with you throughout the day. And I want you to remember this, because here it is. The best way to appreciate something is to have it removed. You know what I mean? The best way to appreciate something is to have it removed. It's the classic old adage, you never know what you got until it's gone. Take prayer, for example. I know prayer is hard to do sometimes. There's time restraints, and you know, you want to do it where your heart is in it. But what if Jesus never came? What if we never had a line of communication open to God? What if Jesus didn't make a way for us to communicate with God in a way that we have today? What would we be doing? We would be doing just like the Old Testament Israelites. We would be longing for a way to communicate with God that wasn't so rule-oriented, and you know, all the different Levitical things that they had to go through. You know, we'd be longing for an easier way to connect with God. So we don't want to take prayer for granted, but if it wasn't there, we would miss it. Take the Bible, for instance. I know it's hard to read sometimes, and it's difficult to spend time, but there was a period of 400 years between the Old Testament and New Testament where there was no word from God, and they longed for a word from God because it was removed. Remember, the best way to appreciate something is to have it removed. Psalm 83:1 says, O God, do not keep silent. Be not quiet, O God. Be not still. Take church, for instance. I know Sunday mornings are hard to get up sometimes, and it's hard to get yourself to church. I know, I've been there. But oh, how would we long for fellowship meetings if they were gone, if they became outlawed like they are in so many places in the world today? Take worship music. Take it all and get rid of it, and then you'll see how much you are taking these things for granted. And that voice was for your benefit. What I'm doing here right now in these teachings are for your benefit. The Bible, prayer, fellowship, serving, tithing, these are for your benefit. What do you do with the things God has given you? Do you hoard them? Do you take them for the moment and move on? Or do you cherish them and nurture them and take these things into your heart? Remember what Mary did when she was told about the forthcoming birth? She treasured these things up in her heart. Friends, I close today by telling you, appreciate the things that God has given us today, the things that we have taken for granted. Stop and take an inventory of those things, and remember that if they were gone, how much you would long to have them back to your life. May you continue to go with God. Hope to see you at the Wash and Word, where we can wash your car, or go to washandword.com. Have a blessed day.